I've got two scriptures I'd like to read to you from the prophet Isaiah, and they're both very well known. And the first one is in chapter 1. I expect every one of you will know it, but it's verse 18, and I'd like to read it. It says, "Come now. Let us reason together, says Jehovah. Let your sins be as scarlet. They shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And then the other scripture is in chapter 9 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 and starting at verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace." Well, there's not much peace to be found in this world, is there? You look around and you don't have to look far to discover that peace is hard to come by. And if you do come by it, it doesn't last for long. But in another scripture in John's Gospel, it tells us about a different sort of peace altogether. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." I wonder if there's anyone tonight that hasn't experienced this peace that Jesus gives. I can tell you quite simply that when I was quite young as many of you young ones here this evening, I gave my heart to the Saviour. And the reason I did it was that I realised that despite the fact that I'd been brought up in a Christian home, despite the fact that the Bible was read in the morning and I listened to it. Well, sometimes I did. But despite those privileges, I needed to come to the Saviour myself. I remember saying to my parents one night, I don't know what it was that the gospel preacher must have said, but I remember saying to them, "I didn't realise I was a sinner." That had obviously come home to me. I can't say that it had any immediate effect. But it came home to my soul that I was still in my sins. And I knew my parents were trusting the Saviour. But I realised that I wasn't. I'd been to gospel preachings and I'd heard the word proclaimed. So I knew about it. I knew from the gospel preacher that the Lord Jesus had come and had gone to a place called Calvary, where he took my sins upon himself there and washed them away in his precious blood so that I could be saved. But I wasn't sure I was. And friend, the burden of my heart this evening in preaching the gospel to you is that I want you to make sure. I want you to make sure that you're trusting in Jesus as your Saviour. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to hear the gospel message and to realise that despite the sorrows and the sadness that there are in this world, that there's a message of peace and joy and salvation that can still be offered. We go out in the world and we say, "Oh, well, haven't things changed? All the prices have gone up. Everything's different from the way it was." even the years that I've been coming to Belfast, it's very different from the way it was then. But you know, I proclaim a salvation to you that hasn't changed. Because it comes from the heart of a God who is the same yesterday and today and to the ages to come. And you know, he loved you enough to send his son to Calvary to die for you. And his love hasn't changed one bit. That love that was displayed at Calvary is a love that's towards you tonight. And I want you for a moment to be honest with yourself. Do you know the Saviour? Or do you just know about him? Now, I want you for a moment just to come to this first scripture that I read. I promise I won't be long tonight. But I want you to come to Isaiah 1. And I want you, if you will, just to read those first two words in verse 18. Come now. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring any more than I do. My plans are that I'll be on a plane going back to my home. But I don't know. God knows what tomorrow will bring. But God knows your heart. And he knows whether you're trusting the Saviour or not. And if you're not, he says, you come now. Come now to Christ. I've given my son for you. He suffered and he died upon Calvary's cross. He suffered the agonies that no others have. His face was marred more than any man's. And he did it for you. He led an absolutely perfect life when he was here. Because he was the blessed Son of God. He did no wrong. Can't say that about yourself, can you? But he who knew no sin, the burden of my sins was laid on him. And I trust him. And I believe. Because that's what God is asking. And I know that if I should be called to stand in the presence of God tonight, and any question of my sins should be raised, I can point to the atoning blood and say that made my peace with God. End of story. God has a righteous basis on which he can forgive me. He can come out in blessing towards me and tell me my sins are washed away. And more than that, you know, because when you search in the scriptures, you find they're not only washed away, but God has promised he'll never remember them anymore. That's amazing, isn't it? When you think of the forgiveness that even we take towards one another, we forgive one another when we've been wronged, but we don't forget it. But God's promised he'll never remember. He says, as far as the east is from the west, you try and measure that. Doesn't say the north from the south, from pole to pole. That's far enough. But God says from east to west. If you go east looking for the west, you'll just keep going. Round and round. They're gone completely from before the face of a Saviour God. You'll not enter into eternity with a feeling of guilt upon you. That those sins, oh God has forgiven me, but I wonder if anybody will remind me in eternity. Nah, nobody will. They're gone before God as though you've never sinned at all. I think that's amazing, you know. That God should work in such a way, and that the precious work of Jesus at Calvary should be so full and complete. The one who declared upon that cross, "It is finished," he meant what he said. The work was done. And the gospel message that I preach to you tonight is available to you based on what Jesus has done for you. Now look, you boys and girls, I know you're young, but I want to say to you tonight that it's never too young to come and see. I wasn't very old, I thank God that I came to see. I trust I've come to know more at this age. But I want you to come and have to do the same tonight. Because the love that we spoke about in the reading, that love is just the same. You think of the love that must have been in God's heart to give his only beloved Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but might have everlasting life. And that giving involved giving him up. He who was in blessed communion with his Father for every step of his pathway here. And yet at Calvary, that communion was broken for those 3 hours. And it had to be so that your sins might be dealt with righteously before a holy God. You think of what that meant to God. To give his Son. To give up his Son. Even for those 3 hours of darkness when he suffered for you and me at Calvary. Friend, I want to tell you that these words from Isaiah's prophecy, do you know, prophetically spoken of the Lord, but written 700 years before it happened. Now you tell me that the Bible's not God's word. You tell me that these things are just the figments of imagination. How can it be that Isaiah knew about this? You come to chapter 53 and you find one there who's despised and rejected of men. The one upon whom our sins were laid. He who suffered there at Calvary for you and me. It's all been part of God's wondrous plan. Not 700 years ago, but back in past eternity. He's had his eye upon you. He knew all about you. He knew you'd be sitting in these seats in this hall tonight. He knows just where you've been in your heart, in your thoughts. And he says, come now. Just a simple message that you should come to Christ tonight. Doesn't need to be anything that makes much of you, because it won't. But just to know that when Christ comes, for those that love him, he'll come for you too. Sometimes think, you know, that time when he will come for his own. Tells us in scripture, you know, that there will be archangel's voice and trump of God. You imagine that. Thunderstorm will be nothing, in it? But now, that'll be in a twinkling of an eye. In a moment. Are you ready? I speak to each of us here. It's one thing to sit in a hall and listen to meetings. But what about your link with the Saviour? Do you know what it is to trust in him? To have him as your personal Saviour and Lord? Do you know what it is to have a hope, a sure and certain hope? That you'll be called to be with him when he comes? That you won't be amongst those that are left for judgment? But you'll be called up to be forever with the Lord? Fanny Crosby writes in her hymn, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, can you say that from your heart? It's a lovely hymn, but is he yours? This wonderful Saviour, I commend to you tonight. Because Isaiah tells us here, after he says, come now, he says, let us reason together. I'll just stop there for a moment. We're talking here about the Almighty God. The Creator. The one who has no beginning or end. The one who created the universe. The one who made you. Such a great one. And he says to you, come, let's reason together. Think of God reasoning with you. Why should he do that? Why should he take interest in you enough that he doesn't just present things to you as take it or leave it, but he says, let's reason together. Friend, I want to reason with you tonight. Why ever would you refuse the gospel? Why, when God offers mercy and salvation, would you not accept it? Why, when you see the state of things in this world and the condition of men's hearts failing them for fear, why would you not turn to the same? Why, when you realize you're still carrying the burden of sin, would you not turn to him and ask for his forgiveness and reach out for the salvation that you'll find in Jesus alone? But God says, I'll reason with you. Salvation must be yours if you're to know what it is to have peace with God. If you're to have a hope before you, a sure and certain hope. And he says, come now. Let's reason together. It's you and God. Now let's read on. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Many of us can look back some way in our history. You younger ones don't have that privilege yet. But when you look back, how much you can see that's displeasing to God. But the wonder of it is that God doesn't hold it against you. The fullness of his love has been expressed in Jesus and his dying at Calvary. In that one that went into death has risen, come out of the grave. And he's now ascended at God's right hand because the work's complete. He's been accepted there. The work that was given him, he's been received up in glory. And the triumph of divine love is that the work of salvation's complete. And for you, what does it mean? It means what this scripture says, that if your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's God's promise to you. And all he asks is that you should trust and believe in the precious work that was done at Calvary. Why wouldn't you do it? Oh, I reason with you tonight. If there's anyone here, perhaps you've sat in this room many, many times and you've never had that personal link with Jesus. You've never confessed your sins to him. You've never asked him to be your saviour. I say like Isaiah, come now. Don't put it off to a future day. Put it off now just where you are. Don't even wait till tonight when you get home and kneel down beside your bed. You just trust him now. Trust him to be your saviour and ask him to wash all those sins away. Lay hold of the salvation that God offers you, because it's available. Scripture says, whosoever will, let him come. Let him drink of the water of life for him. When I come to chapter 9 of Isaiah, I find another well-known scripture, and one that's very dear to me. These names that are listed here, you know, we read them like a list. But what do they mean? I can tell you that that first name that's recorded here of this son that was born, it's precious to me. I can tell you quite simply that I think he's wonderful. I look at the cross and I see the wonder of God's love displayed there. I see a man who was absolutely perfect, suffering for me, suffering for sins. And I think it's wonderful that he should give his life so that I might live. Why ever should one who was so perfect, whose life was so delightful to the heart of God, why should such a one give up that precious life for a sinner like me? truth of it is that he's done it. And I think that's wonderful. Many a time I can speak to my Saviour, and he's always wonderful. He will be when I'm caught up to glory. He'll be wonderful then too. There'll be no change with him. His heart of love will still be towards me, just as it was when I was a sinner. And that love is open to you tonight, that you might come and discover how wonderful it is to have a Saviour that you can speak to. A Saviour who loves you and whose heart is towards you. He knows all about you. He knows your future. He knows your past. But it doesn't change his love for you. And tonight you can come and know what it is for that burden to be rolled away completely. I often think, you know, have you ever read that book, Pilgrim's Progress? I used to read it when I was younger. The time when he came to the cross. And he found that the burden that was upon his back fell off and it rolled away. Went down the hill. But friend, if you're to experience what Christian experienced, you must come to the cross and find for yourself that he died there for you. And there you can say, I believe, Lord. I repent, Lord. I trust, Lord. I want you to be my Saviour. May the burden of my sins roll down that hill until it goes out of sight completely. Because that's where they can stay. Gone forever, casts another prophet says, into the depths of the sea. The gospel's wonderful, you know. And his name is wonderful. And whilst his work is wonderful, the Saviour himself is more wonderful. Because he can be precious to you. And precious to you throughout your life here. You may have years ahead of you, you younger ones. I don't know. But you may not. But if you have, why not walk them here knowing that you have a Saviour? Knowing that you're trusting one who has got your salvation eternally all sorted out just because you've trusted and believed. But now, all right, he's wonderful. What next? Well, then you find that he's a counsellor. Well, what's that mean? Well, I expect at the moment, if you need a bit of counsel or advice, you've got your parents you can go to, and they'll give you sound advice usually. They'll guide you and they'll help you in your pathway here. But sometimes I've been in situations, and particularly since I've been older, that I've got no one to ask. You can discuss things with those you love, but is it sound advice or is it just opinion? Dear friend, I've got one, my Saviour, who is to me a counsellor. I can turn to him at any time. He's my friend. I know him as one who loves me, and I love him. And we can speak together about the dilemmas and the problems in life. And when the pathway divides, as it often does, and the signpost doesn't tell you which way to go, you turn to your counsellor. And he usually points you to scriptures, to the Word of God. But in any case, you can be sure of this, that the counsel that he gives you, it's counsel that's wise, and it's counsel that is true. Yes, you can trust him for your eternal salvation, but you can trust him for your pathway here. That's the wonder of it. You go out of that door tonight, and you've got a counselor standing beside you, one who's able to advise you, one who's able to be with you for every step of the way. And then you find, too, that he's a mighty God. All the wonder of this. The one who stooped so low at Calvary, the one who was despised and rejected of men, was the Son of God. You think of that. The greatness of the personage who has come from glory's highest height right down into Bethlehem's manger. You know about that, I'm sure. But that same one is the mighty God who is able for everything. You think of that you have one who is near you, one who is close to you at every step of your pathway here, one who will help preserve you from falling aside. The mighty God himself is the one who has come to make himself known in Jesus, that you should know his love and that it should become precious to your heart. Oh, if persons tell you that Jesus is just a mere man, he was just a good man who came here and did good things. He had the power of healing and he could perform miracles, but he was just a good man. No. Scripture makes it quite clear. Jesus was and is the Son of God, eternally so. The one with whom you will dwell eternally will be the blessed Son of God himself. And yet, he won't be at a distance from you. He'll be near. The mighty God has revealed his heart in Jesus, and he's the one with whom we'll dwell eternally. What a joy it is to every believer to know the one to whom, one in whom you make your trust is the one who is God himself. And then he's the Father of eternity. Oh yeah. People worry, don't they? What's beyond death? Don't need to do that if you know the Father of eternity. You know one there who's got your hair in his hand. He knows all about you. His arms are around you to embrace you and secure you. He's the Father of eternity. He'll always be your heavenly Father, even when you're in heaven yourself. What it is to be brought there, you know, and to be brought into relationship with him. You know the relationship now that you can enjoy with him, but then you'll be a son in the Father's house. Oh, the blessedness of all that God has done, everything that man does now and offers, it all ends after a while. But this never does. And I want you to make sure it doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. I want you to make sure tonight that you know this Father of eternity, so you know where you're going. The Lord Jesus himself said, you know, to his own, he said, I go to prepare you a place. Well, have you reserved it? Not much good, is it, if you've got a place and you've never reserved it? Is it there waiting for you? God has prepared a place for you. Why don't you make it your own tonight? It'd be silly, wouldn't it, not to? When you think that God has gone to the lengths that he has, so that a place might be secured for you in glory. And you say, well, I just want to think it over. No, don't think it over. Take Isaiah's advice. Come now, he says. Come now. Come now to Christ. And then you find more than that you've got one who's a Prince of Peace. Oh, the Lord would love to give everyone in this room peace tonight. There may be doubts and sorrows and anxieties in your hearts. All of us have them. But there's one who is the Prince of Peace, who can give you a peace that no one else can impart to you. Not even your nearest and dearest. Not even those in whom you can confide. No. The Prince of Peace is the only one who can bring peace. And it's a unique peace. That he says, my peace I give unto you. It's not a peace that comes from this world. It comes from the place where he dwells. And peace has been secured through the blood of the Lamb. And when you read through Revelation, you'll find that that same person is there. When it speaks of the things that are eternal, the Lord Jesus is referred to in the Revelation as the Lamb. And that tells me this, that when we're there, we'll never forget what he did for you and what he did for me. We'll never forget that he shed his precious blood. We'll never forget the cost that it was to him, that when man in hatred pierced his side, his blood love's answer gave. We'll never forget it. Now, in this world, We've got wandering minds, and as we get older, we forget things, but we'll never forget that. Not throughout eternity. Wonder of wonders, that it's all the result of what Jesus has done at Calvary, and he's done it for you. And look, I just want to appeal to your heart. Why don't you accept? Why don't you come to Christ now? Why don't you just turn to him, perhaps in secret prayer, and just say to him, Lord, you know what my pathway's been to here up till now, but I want you to save me. I want to be here for you. I want my life to be a life that's here for your pleasure and your will. I want to know my sins forgiven. Will you come to the Saviour tonight? I trust you will. May God bless the life.